It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio. Dick has a Saturday off, and this is actually the last high school coaches show of the season. Coach John Sherb has faithfully been in the studio every Saturday, John.
Well, I try to get in when I can. It doesn't work all the time, but it tries to be, and it's nicer that way. And just because if you miss something, you can remind me or something like that, so that's always a good thing.
Well, did it rain on you coming into the studio or not yet?
Actually, up at my place, we had nothing. It was pretty clear. Dry, ground was dry, and all of a sudden, as you get closer to the town, it's like, oh, wetter. And it's like, okay. So, but
did you see down by Laverne and Sioux Falls in Worthington yesterday? That's unbelievable. Rock County with a state of emergency.
Yeah, because what did Adrian have, 9 inches of rain? Yeah. I mean, where do you put it?
I know. Over the highways and over the interstates, I guess.
Yeah, that's not a good deal. We need rain, but not that much rain.
That's right. So what we're going to do this morning on the Coach's Show, we're going to wrap up the track seasons and the golf seasons with Coach Stender and Coach Besson, and we already did, and the baseball season. I should have mentioned that, too. We'll get the Derby there here at the end of the hour. So, John, I'm just going to turn it over to you and another nice track season for you guys.
Yeah, it has been. It was Lisa better than last year. Last year we couldn't get a meet in until almost the end of April. This year we got meets in, but the conditions weren't very good. So you at least got to compete, and that's the good thing there. You know, distance runners didn't mind it so much. They hated the wind part, but the cool didn't bother them. The sprinters hated it because the hamstrings and everything else and the jumpers didn't like. So you're kind of playing that mess, but it was nice. We got some meets in. We picked up a few more. So the season was very good. And, then we had a lot of special things go out through the season, which was really nice. I should first like to recognize our coaches. Stability is a big key with any program, I think. And you keep coaches around, and then they build off it. Everybody has that trust in one another, and you work together, and it makes things better all around. And, we've had a very good coaching staff. We have pretty much the same crew as what we've had in the past. We added one on our staff, Paul Lowry, who's been doing our throwing for many, many years, does a really, really good job with them. And he really has solidified that and really works well. And that Dave Thompson, who has been kind of the guru of getting things done and keeping my head above water and really has made my job a lot easier, but still working with the girls and the sprinters and putting them through and, putting up with some good days and bad days, but just a really good guy to work with and keeps you lighthearted. And he always got to throw a little jab at you once in a while to keep you on your toes or to bring you down to earth a little bit. But he's good to have around. Joel Voorhees, another young one that's in the system that's working up the system. So you kind of the young coming in, hopefully to learn something from us old dogs and help to benefit and make the program better. And they'll find ways. And that's the good thing is young kids. They'll find things, and hopefully they take young with the old and work it. Zach Gierman was our new coach in there. Zach came in for Thomas and took over the junior high program. He had a really, really busy spring with a new addition to their family and then also with the coaching part, and I really like his enthusiasm, and hopefully we can keep him back to kind of build in and start working these young kids to benefit down the road and to have that. Like I said, Joel, I forgot to mention, Joel worked a lot of the jumpers and sprinters and relay teams. Dave also did some relay teams with me, too. So, I mean, we all kind of covered each other. Then our two retired coaches that just are so awesome to have around and are so quality is makes it so much easier. And like I mentioned at the coaches banquet, I'm dumb enough if I don't keep them on. I mean, they're so good and work so well with kids. They see things. It's Ron Kester and Ted Albers who have been years and years of knowledge and experience there and work with the kids and they really got to have some things to go with. So it really, really is good to have a stability of coaching, working young and old and incorporating things to each other. Then also the parents too. We've had a very good parent crew that really has done a lot of things to help us out with, getting things set. A lot of the parents covered with a concession stand when we had the home meet. That helped a lot and just just got it set, and next thing you know, the meet's over, the concession stand's all cleaned up. I have nothing to look at clean it, so it's kind of nice that they really, really have done a good job and helping wherever is needed help with certain things and, you know, with setting up things or communicating. It works really well with that. Probably the biggest addition to the season this year was the Dave Nibby family, with having our invite turn into the Nibby Invitational, which I think is a great thing for the program, for the kids. And they really came in with all, you know, barrels of blaring and going. And, I mean, they really turned that into a really, really big meet. A lot of compliments from the coaches and athletes from other schools and also ours, just to kind of really kind of put something, a big flair on the meet, and that went really, really well. You know, we did have our banquet. I'll go through that. That stuff will get put in the paper. But we have seniors. We have a few seniors on the team, you know, very, very, you know, good seniors, and worked with Abigail Alonzo is our senior. She was a letter winner for us. She was a sprinter for us, and now she ran cross for us in the fall, and then all of a sudden she started filling in, running some 800s. Never got in a mile, but she just really worked in that eight and got a chance to really help our 4x8 relay team and really did a good job and enjoyed having her. It's very tough to see kids to be able to move from sprinting to more of that 800 distance, but she moved in very nicely and worked hard, had a smile on her face, and she was able to move on. Haley Anderson, you know, came up a long ways from being the second year off a track to qualify for the state meet and the shot put, just missing a discus, but just a smile on her face and just a kind of a, you know, giggly, you know, just a fun girl to have around and talk, and she'd always have a little comment that was always funny to have. Then Andy Doctor, probably our biggest giggling and loud person. I don't say loud, but just she would just, you see her the one time walking out of Casey's, and all of a sudden saw her in the corner of my eye. I said, I'll just see how long it takes. It didn't even take 5 seconds. She all of a sudden hollers at me loud, and everybody else, everybody heard within the block. But she, you know, she was nicked up. She had her knee scoped a little bit, trying to get that figured out and having that. When she was able to work, she worked hard. She did the hurdles for us for her younger years, and then she ended up working in the throwing a little bit. But she was kind of our motivational, wanted to keep things going, but then she also helped a little bit up with the coaching and getting stats, and that was good there. Joseph Felton, who came a long ways in the program, who, you know, like we made a comment to coach at the banquet on him, was his first time running the 300 hurdles, he ended up having to stop and push the hurdle down, or actually back up and then go over the hurdle. And to the guy that was running a little over a minute to run the 300 hurdles to get it down to 46 seconds. So that's a really, really good improvement there, and just, you know, works hard, just kind of gets himself in. Ayanna Hasted probably is the one that is probably the most all-around athlete we've had. She's done everything for you that you could. Very, very talented. You know, she was also one of our captains along with Haley, and she really, really had a year. The probably the niches, which is too bad with all the work and everything else, just came up short 2 years in a row just getting to that state meet, which is always tough to think about, but it's still being in that spot. Too many kids aren't even in that spot to have a chance to do that. And like I said, she did everything. 400-meter dash all the way down to the 100. All relays she ran. So she covered everything, and she wasn't worried about it. She just stepped in and got it out and do what she could and had some things there. But she was, you know, she was all conference for us, academic all conference. She was, you know, academic all state. Joseph Felton, the same thing. He was academic all conference. Andy Doctor was academic all conference. And Haley Anderson was academic all state and all conference. Eli Hagelin, kind of our jumping guru, who is actually going to expand his jumping into college. He's going to go jump at Concordia, which will be good because it'll be kind of nice. Then I can kind of go watch another one of our former athletes compete in college and see he's going to jump up there. So he was a captain, all conference, academic all conference, all state. Had a chance, had a look at that state qualifying mark, just missed it. But again, really, really in the triple jump, long jump, high jump, that was kind of his forte. Then we snuck him in some relays when we needed some help a little bit. But just a good all-around athlete there, and he was also a captain on his side. Reese McCoy really came into herself this year. She finally got in the jumps. You know, when you're triple jumping and long jumping, you don't get a lot of recognition as you would be because, again, you're on the side a little bit. But she really, you know, came on and just unfortunately had a little ankle injury at the end of the season. You know, she would have probably had a good chance of qualifying for the section meet, but that unfortunately didn't happen. But, you know, she worked hard in that jumping area. Atiana Specht, who came out, I want to say we talked about this the other day, was I think she came out as a seventh grader and then had a five-year sabbatical and then came back out again. And she jumped into our sprints and really, really did a good job in our sprint. And she got into our relay team. She got into the 100 and 200. So she did a lot of things that it's tough for a senior to come out and do that. And she did a very good job with that. Anthony Tafoya came out. Kyle was must have been the first meet we had. He came out on the throw, shot, and disc. It's like, good to have him. Came out of nowhere and turned around. I think he ended up getting to about 36 feet in the shot put, which is a nice toss. And just, you know, for I don't even know if he ever ran track. So that's the good thing on that. Our last senior is James Weber, who James probably has really, really blossomed and grew throughout the year and really closed out his high school career in running. In that, you know, to be able to, he was a captain, all conference, all state, academic, all state, award winner. So he really, really did an outstanding job for us. And, you know, just the glow. I mean, just, you know, like I said, I've always said, you know, he's the shortest man in the 110 hurdles, but boy, does he have speed in the middle and get over that. And so he's very, very talented. And you know, he's going to be a really a tough person because, you know, one thing you really like about James was he'd do anything for the team. If it was a back-to-back race, if we needed it, he would do it. And he was moved around. I know in our 4x4, he ran 4x4. He ran a lot of times our leadoff. And all of a sudden, we finally started tinkering a little bit, and he got in that anchor spot and ran really, really well in the anchor spot of the 4x4. So we got a bunch of seniors that really are going to be really missed. You hope that they've passed something on to these younger ones to go on to that next level to be able to step up to be a leader on this team. And that's what you kind of look at. You know, the other thing is I'm not going to go through all our letter winners because we got a lot of letter winners, and that will be in the paper. I know we got that sent out. We'll get a picture and get that in here. It's probably this next week or 2 weeks that I'll be in there. But we had a lot of letter winners, a lot of, again, seventh graders all the way up to seniors mixing and matching, and that's what you got to have. And just the question is to move on. School records, we had basically two boys rearrange our school records. Basically, Brayson Boyke, he tied the school record in high jump at 6'6". He ended up breaking the triple jump record. So it went 45.3, I think it was right off the top of my head. So he has that. He also does hold the long jump record, too. So he's involved in all three of the big jumping events. Then James Weber basically took care of the hurdles. He broke the school record in the 110 hurdles, and then he also broke the school record in the 300 hurdles. So that's quite an accomplishment on that one, just to see that. Just to see them go after those records, and you know, we're going to have our record board posted up outside at the high school at the track. So maybe that'll give some of these kids some other things of dreaming of how fast can we go, and give you something to attain to look at, and also remember our past athletes. We've had some very, very good track athletes come to the program, so we'll have those awards up there and everything else with that. So you kind of look at that. Conference, the boys end up winning their second conference in a row. We've won, I think we're probably six or seven conferences. We've run one in the last probably 10, 12 years. So we boys have always been in that conference hunt every year. Girls, been a little dry here for the last 5-6 years, but hopefully we can start getting some more nucleus around there. We've got the kids. We just got to get that next level. And the boys keep finding more kids to help us out. We always seem to pick up some juniors, seniors that kind of come in to help us, and that's always a big key because I keep telling the older kids, I said, you find five more good athletes, we'll still be in the contention. Sure enough, every year we find five more good athletes, we're well. Our team awards we gave out at the banquet, our MVP was Ayanna Hasted, which is pretty clear-cut on that one, just with her career and what she had for a season. James Weber and Brayson Boyke was our co-MVPs. Just, again, two great kids, work hard together, will do anything for the team, will help event. They may not like it, but, again, they do what they can to help, and very, very coachable. All the coaches would agree with that. Most improved is Haley Anderson and then Joseph Felton. Our rookies, which you know you don't hear a lot because one's a seventh grader and one's a junior, is Tayden Clark, who just was on the cusp of qualifying for state in 800 for his first time out for track. So, again, you liked the way he fit in, and he did a lot of things for us. I think he learned a lot. Once in a while, he bit off more than he could chew, come back to bite him a little bit. But that's the part you got to like, that when kids aren't afraid to do that. Too many kids are solidified the idea of just, hey, I'm happy where I'm at. I'm not willing to get into uncomfortable zone. And Geller, sometimes he put himself out. He was gassed when One time I gave him a hard time because he had whiplash because so many guys were going by him, but he was out of – there was nothing left in the gas tank. And then bring Galeggi, our little seventh grader, who we were going to start her out with some junior high races and everything else, but then we had a sickness and started in varsity. We couldn't get her out of varsity, and she just ran varsity, 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 and she was our rookie of the year and just – again, qualified for the section meet in the 800, was fourth in the section in the 800, solidified our 4x8, solidified our 4x4, really, really a gung-ho little girl that can run. And so hopefully we can build and get some strength out of her, and she can probably do some things. And, you know, and her and Chloe keep going after each other, which is good. You have sisters that work off each other. Yeah, once in a while you have some grumpy moments between them, but they still work hard and push each other, and that's kind of you like to see. So, you know, overall, I thought the season was very, very good. The kids, again, I can't thank the seniors. I can't thank the kids enough for working hard through the tough days, swimming. You know, some days we had to swim. Some days we had to go inside circuit. We had to go out in the rain. I mean, it is what it is, and they grumbled just a little, but they understood what it was, the big picture down the road.
That's right. Well, that was another successful season then, John. So
yes, very. I mean, it's successful, as you can say. You know, you always want bigger things, but we had a lot of success, what we want. But you can't be king of the world to get everything, you know.
I know you, the kids will work hard during the summer to get back to the, you know, condition. I know you take the cross-country team up to Duluth, don't you?
Yeah, we take them for 5 days in Duluth last week in July just to kind of get some, you know. I'm a big push of that family of working together, of bonding, and I think that's so important, and that's what we kind of do with them. Plus, we get some running in and just be with each other, and that's fun.
And cross-country will be here in the blink of an eye.
I'd like to have a little break here. It's...
You're a three-sport coach. I don't know if people understand how hard it is to be a three-sport coach. You start in the fall, you do winter sport, and spring sport. You love it, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy it very much. You know, I'm very fortunate to have a family that allows me. My wife, when she was alive and everything else, made it. Took a lot of pressure off me.
She did a lot.
Oh, she did a lot. Yeah. She was the one that kind of kept it, and she did a lot of stuff on the side, which was helpful to my family, both my kids, too, and then also coaches. I've been very, very fortunate to work with coaches that allow, because, again, they know with my schedule that sometimes I have to be missing or whatever, and then everybody covers each other, and very fortunate. The kids still, I guess they put up with me, I guess.
And I can tell you love to do it.
Yes.
You still love to. You've been doing it for many, many years, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
All right. And we'll continue to do that.
Plan on.
Okay, good. All right. John, I want to thank you for coming in every Saturday. I appreciate that and on all three sports. So.
Thank you.
All right. And we'll talk to you in about a month.
month and a half. We'll get there.
Okay. All right. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
That's head coach John Sherb of the La Caprile Valley Dawson Boyd track team. We'll take a break and we'll talk golf and wrap up the golf season right after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash.
This week at the Country Butcher, blackjack brats are 10% off.
Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to La Caprile Valley Girls Golf with head coach Kip Stender, and we're going to wrap up that golf season, Kip.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Yeah, it kind of goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, all of a sudden it's done, but it's when you're in it, it's a fairly long season, start in the middle of March and go to the middle of June, so gets to be a lot happens once the weather turns, you know, fair enough to get outside. So It's quite different when you're hitting inside than when you can get outside, and sometimes you don't get all that much practice once you start getting the events in. Just to get them in, you end up 2-3 days a week you're playing. So, but the girls had a great season. They finished second in the section to Dawson, and Dawson ended up winning the state. So the fourth place team at state we had beaten when we were down in Bunker Hills. So we were, you know, top three teams in the state, I feel, and the girls should feel proud of that, and not everybody can make it there. So it's an honor to get there, and we've been fortunate to do that for a few years. And congratulations to Dawson Boyd and Coach Larson and Swedinsky and all the girls there. They had a heck of a season and did very well. So for our girls, we had two individuals that ended up qualifying for state, Molly Halverson and Peyton Sachs. And Molly, it was her fourth year for state, three with the team, and then individually here. She finished 12th place this year, and Peyton Sachs finished 30th place. And I just looking through, I think Peyton was 70th or something last year. So she made major strides and good improvement, as did all the girls. Letter winners this year, Caitlin Kittleson and Grace Fossick and Molly Halverson all lettered for their fourth year. Kate Alstead's third year, Peyton Sachs' second year, and Carly Cran's first year. We had two academic all-conference golfers, Carly Cran's and Grace Fossick. Hamden all-conference golfers, we had three, Molly Halverson, Caitlin Kittleson, and Peyton Sachs. Like I mentioned, we were the Section 5A team runner-up. Molly Halverson placed second at sections, Peyton Sachs sixth, Caitlin Kittleson ninth, Grace Fossick 12th, Kate Alstead 23rd, and Carly Kranz 27th. The second day of sections on the first nine, which was the back nine, the girls shot probably our best nine score in team history, and had a 18-hole score, one of our better rounds in the 340s. So we got in the 340s twice this year, which is really good. So, you know, we just couldn't get consistent and do it back-to-back this year. So, but all in all, awesome year for the girls. All-state this year was Molly Halverson for the third time and Caitlin Kittleson for the second year. And probably one of the first time in team history, and we've had some really good academic teams over the years. We achieved the Section 5A academic champion and finished third overall in the state, Class A for team academic. And believe it or not, we finished third with a 3.952 team GPA. So we've received the state gold team award many years for academic team, but this was the first year that we were the section team academic. So awesome job for the girls and their academic efforts. All-state academic, you have to be a senior for that. Grace Fossick and Carly Kranz earned that. Our team awards, we haven't had our banquet yet, so I'm not going to go through those. You know, so that kind of sums up the season.
Okay.
Finished second in the north half of the conference. I think overall, with the way the point system goes, we were third between both conferences. Obviously, with the point system, when you got the two best teams in one half, and we were able to, I think, knock Dawson off on one, maybe two dual meets. So I think it was just one probably in the conference. So they had the points there, but then in the south, a couple teams or one team had won most of those events, so they had more points in that half.
Okay.
So I don't know that I'm missing anything.
Okay.
Other than, you know, thanking the support from the community and all the donors, Melissa Jacobs for running the Facebook page. I hadn't been on it yet to see anything, but I believe
Melissa does a great job.
Yeah, so that's what I hear, and I know parents, when they get pictures and players, they get them to her, and she gets them on there, and the papers, both papers and the KLQP do a great job of supporting and publicity, and, you know, and the program wouldn't be where it's at without Chad Gallen and Mark Halverson as the volunteer assistants, and they put in a ton of time and their own money to get there and drive and all that, and so they're a big part of the program, and I do my best to reward them with a round of golf somewhere and good meals. So we'll be setting that up here this summer and try to find a place to travel to. And then all the donors and the fundraisers, so really appreciate the support. And like I said, I'm proud of the girls. Had an awesome season. When you've had the success we've had, it seems like a letdown. But if we hadn't had that success, it would be just so amazing, the type of season we had. So very proud of them, very proud of the families and the parents. And they did a good job and gave it their all.
All right. All right, Kip, thank you. And I want to thank you for being on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show every Saturday. Appreciate your time, Kip.
Yeah, well, thank you, Paul.
You bet. That's Kip Stender, head coach of the Lac Qui Valley Girls Golf Team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
For all your building needs at your home-owned independent lumberyard, Sather Building Supply. They're located at 236 North 3rd Street, just off of Highway 212 in Dawson. They're open every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. Sather Building Supply. All your building needs. Located 236 North 3rd Street, Dawson, Minnesota. You can call 320-769-4481. That's 320-769-4481. Sather Building Supply, where they appreciate your business.
Pick up some of your favorite Dairy Queen treats at the Dawson Dairy Queen, like chicken strip basket, about the $7 meal deals, cones, sundaes, royal treats. Are you celebrating a birthday? Pick up a DQ birthday cake. Happiness however you want it. Dawson Dairy Queen is open 10:30 to 10 every day.
Paul Ramo back here in the studio with more of the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk, wrap up the Lac Qui Parle Valley boys golf season with head coach Barry Besson. And good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
Well, season flies by in a way, doesn't it?
Springs go quick. You know, you get started in April and you're, you know, it's about a 6-week sprint. And about the third week or so in May, you are in the sections. So, yep. And that's if you get a regular season. Some years with weather, it turns into about a 3 or 4 week sprint.
Right. And you had to fight the rain sometimes this year, right?
Yeah, the spring, we didn't, the rain wasn't so bad. We didn't have more than one or two rain outs, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We had a lot of cold and wind, though. So, you know, the wind was seemed to be stronger than usual this spring, so.
Right.
But I think mostly we avoided the rain. There were a couple of issues, but maybe some others had more issues than we did, but we were able to avoid some of that.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up that boys season then, Barry.
Okay. You know, coming into the season, we had some expectations with pretty much everybody back from last year that, you know, we'd be much improved, and we're hoping to compete for some lofty goals within the conference and the section and that sort of thing. And you know, for the most part, we were able to, we got close to a lot of those. We did win 4 of the 6 conference meets, the 9-hole meets. I think CMCS won one, Dawson Boyd won one. So we were able to, do that. We did win a couple of invitationals as well. We won one at Ortonville and we won at Benson, so you know, a couple of wins against a little bigger fields and 18-hole events. So you know, a lot of good successes there, winning some events. And then we got to the conference tournament. We ended up 3rd in the conference tournament and then 3rd for the season overall. Well, I know we came in the conference tournament 2nd place and fell back to 3rd. But we still ended up 3rd in the conference season, behind Lakeview and Canby. You know, it was a pretty tight race too. So you know, teams that were ahead of us definitely, you know, played well to earn that too. Then we got to the sections, and of course we were section runner up to Dawson Boyd, who had a great season as well. And you know, congrats to them on all the success there they had this year. But you know, it was you know, got a little behind, you know, the whole first day and second day. They played extremely well and you know, stepped up and took it. You know, so still section runner up isn't so bad. Kids got some hardware out of it and you know, so all in all, a good season, a good building block for going forward.
All right.
All right. Anything else? Would you like to mention?
Well, individually we had some different individual achievements, successes. We had four players make the all-conference team. Carson Bessman, who was his fourth time. Caden Stender, Noah Hart, and Gavin Carl. Those three all made it for the first time. So we were able to put those four on the all-conference team. I think it was the first time we ever had four kids. We had a lot of years, even during
nice.
Some of our stronger years a few years ago, we'd only have three. So we were able to get four on there this year, which is great. And, Carson was the second-ranked player in the conference. Carson Bowl at Lakeview. Let's see, of course, Carson was also the section champion this year for the second time. He won in ninth grade, and the other 10th grade he was runner-up, so he's been one or two every year at the section. He had a five-shot win there. Played in his fourth state tournament, which, as we kind of described last week, a lot of things that really went well and a couple things that let him down a little bit and, things to work on as he heads into his last year. But I think Carson did end up winning, I want to say, seven or eight tournaments this year, which is a pretty significant number as well to win that many events, which, was close to half the events we played. He was the winner, which is pretty solid. I don't think we ever had that before either. But otherwise, we had good contributions, with young talent coming, obviously. Mentioned Noah Hart as an eighth grader making all conference. Gavin Carl as a junior splitting time with track. Well, it was pretty impressive to do that. Griffin Kranz, seventh grader, had a great year and wasn't far off the all-conference team either. Among others, the others that played this spring, whether it's Caden or Grant Bierke or Matt Hart, all made contributions and
good.
There were no seniors in the group too, and we also got some promising looking kids that played on the junior high team that put up some nice scores too. So I think we're going to be with a year under our belt. Those guys that are in junior high, like Noah and Griffin, they have a year under their belt. They're going to be much better next year and have been through kind of the battles and the section and everything. And, so we're optimistic about, where we're going to go next year. And hopefully we can make one more step forward at the section and a couple at the conference and maybe pick some of those off.
All right. Real good, Barry. All right. Well, appreciate you being on the Coach's Show every Saturday, filling us in on the boys' team. And we'll do it again next year.
All right.
You got everybody back, right?
Yeah, we got a pretty good group coming back.
Good. Awesome. Thanks, Barry.
You bet.
All right, that's Barry Besson, head coach of the Lockbaugh Valley Boys golf team. Just before we take a commercial break here, Kip sent me a message here to mention that Macy Zarbach medaled three times on JV and winning two JV events, and Kaylee Nelson finished the JV girls' season with her personal best score. So wrapping up that girls' season with Coach Stender as well. We'll take a break, and we'll wrap up that boys' baseball season with head coach Darby Biragon right after this.
Jim's Market in Canby is a big store in a small town. They're known for their friendly staff and a beautifully kept store at a great location. You'll love the fresh quality cuts of meat in their meat department. Their deliciously fresh produce department offers an incredible selection of the freshest fruits and vegetables around. Enjoy their donuts, muffins, cupcakes, and cakes baked fresh in their bakery department every day. Jim's Market Deli is sure to please with a variety of meats, cheeses, homemade deli salads, sandwiches, and a great selection of lunch and dinner items available. That's Jim's Market. They're right on North Highway 75, Canby.
Hello, this is Andrew Schmidt at Farmers and Merchant State Bank of Appleton. And at Farmers and Merchant State Bank of Appleton, our bank is locally owned and operated. We pride ourselves on customer service and working with our customers to achieve their short and long-term financial goals. Beyond banking, at Farmers and Merchants, we have a full-service insurance agency and real estate team. Please feel free to give us a call and talk with one of our employees regarding any questions you may have at 320-289-1000. 1454. Visit us on the web at www.farmers-merchants.com. Farmers and Merchants, you'll find us friendly.
Check us for things going on this weekend. A bridal shower for Sidney Gertis and Mason Clark will be at 3:30 p.m. Sunday out at Styx in Madison. On Sunday, roast beef commercial dinner will be served 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Marietta Fire Hall. On the menu, savory roast beef sandwich, real mashed potatoes, beef gravy, corn, dessert, and a beverage. They'll play some bingo at 1 p.m. This is by free will donation, sponsored by the Marietta Hometown Committee. Proceeds going toward building a community center in Marietta. Each meal includes one free bingo card. Takeouts and in-town delivery available by calling 320-668-2153 the day of the event on Sunday. Also on Sunday, the St. Leo Annual Church Dinner will be held. They're handicap accessible. Menu will be roast beef, mashed potatoes, gravy, coleslaw, glazed carrots, dinner roll, angel food cake with strawberries and a beverage. $15 for adults, $10 for ages 5 to 10, free for ages 4 and under. Come on over for Mass at 10 a.m., dinner from 11 to 1, bake sale, country store, bingo, and other games in the church grounds. 1:15, there will be a raffle drawing in the back lawn, and mini cheesecakes will be served in the back lawn at 1:30. That's on Sunday at St. Leo Catholic Church.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to wrap up the Lacaparra Valley baseball season this morning with head coach Darby Biergun. Good morning, Darby.
Morning, Paul.
Well, have you rested up from the state baseball week?
Yes, yeah. I think I finally caught up on some sleep, and hopefully everybody, the fans and players and parents and everybody, have caught up also. And yourself.
Yeah, and myself. It took me a couple days.
Yeah, yep.
I was actually gone all week with state golf at Pebble Creek and state baseball, so good to be back in the studio.
Right, and sometimes it's not always just the physical, but the mental part of it, too, is just wrapping your head around everything.
And trying to do everything.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. Well, last Saturday we talked about the two state baseball games. This morning, we're going to take some time and talk about the whole team and about the overall season, Darby.
Yep. No, we're just going to talk about kind of our players and our teams, how they ended up and stuff like that. So, first of all, I'd like to talk about our junior high teams. We had 28 people out, about 14 eighth graders and 14 seventh graders, and they had a, like most teams and us, they had an up and down season based on weather, of course. They had a lot of rescheduled games and stuff like that. So 28 players in junior high is a pretty good number, and we'll take that as many years as we can, and hopefully they stay out and we have those numbers as we move through here. Coaching the junior high for us this year was Brian Mode, Chad Kranz, Tony Smith helped out, and then we also had a student coach in Carson Young. So he wasn't able to play varsity ball because of a injury, and he was willing to help out. And with the numbers, we needed the extra help, so it was very nice of Carson to help out. So appreciate all those junior high guys for playing. Like I said, I hope they stay out and keep giving us numbers as we move through, and we especially appreciate the junior high coaches because sometimes it is really hard to find a junior high coach, and we'll take them and use them to the best of our ability.
How'd their season go? Do you know?
I don't have that off the top of my head. I do know that there was a lot of close games and some weather related ones that got canceled that they were hoping to get made up but never to get made up. So not quite sure where they're at, but they're learning, they're getting innings on the mound, they're getting at bats and stuff like that, and that's the most important thing, and now they're rolling with that during the summer also.
Whenever I saw Facebook posts or social media posts from parents of the junior high players, they look like they're having fun.
That's all what it's all about.
Yep. Okay.
So, on our JV, we had a mixture of 9th and 10th graders, and the players on our JV for most of the year were Grant Bierke, 9th grader, Gavin Meyer, 9th grade, Kaysen Heineke, Gavin Mortensen, Kyler Kep, Charlie Hansen, Leo Borsett, and Gus Holm. Those were our 9th graders that played JV, and our sophomores were Brant Schomer, Nolan Smith, and Malcolm Lilliard. And Brennan Sherb played some innings for us on JV also. The JV coach is here, first-year coach. We call him Coach K, the real Coach K, not the Duke coach, is Braden Kittleson. So it was nice to have Braden back home and taking over the JV program.
Former Eagle,
baseball yes. Former
player.
Student.
A good one.
And I helped coach him also, yes. Yep, really, really happy to have Braden back, and he helped us out a lot in the varsity dugout also. So happy to have him back home. And they finished over 500. There was a lot of games, a lot of weird different things with the pitch count where we had different rules and stuff. But I think they finished well over 500, and again, they hit the ball well and threw a lot of strikes. So Braden was really impressed and pleased and had a really good first season with those guys.
Good.
coming up to the varsity, we did move some ninth graders and 10th graders up for our state run just for extra speed and stuff like that. But our juniors for varsity were Brennan Sherb, Tyler Earp, Dylan Keimig, Davis Patzer, Brock Bierneld, Landon Weber, Baxter Kalloff, and Matt Arndt. And then our seniors that we're going to miss next year, this is their last season as high school baseball players, were Peyton Rademacher, TJ Mitchell, Dylan Geiser, Cale Benson, Caden Mortensen, Braden Danzizen, and Caden Molden. So a good group of seniors, seven of them that we're going to lose, and almost every single one of them, actually every single one of them, played a significant role in the state tournament run. So we're going to have to replace them somehow. It's going to be tough, but the younger guys will have to step up and help out with that.
Listen, we got some time here, Darby. Let's talk about your seniors and what they contributed to the team.
Yep, Peyton Rademacher was an outfielder for us most of the year. Peyton was in the nine spot throughout the year. We always like kind of somebody in the bottom part of the lineup that gets on base a lot, and Peyton did just that for us, whether it was walks or hits or stuff like that. He was right around 400 on base percentage, so he was steady there. He knew what to expect out of Peyton. He knew where he was going to be, and he played a solid outfield for us too. TJ Mitchell was a center fielder for us. He threw a little bit. TJ batted in that sixth spot for most of the year for us. He really came on hot at the state tournament. He batted over 250 on the year. He had 14 RBIs, which is big in that sixth spot. He had 13 stolen bases. And the thing that I think most people are going to remember about TJ is his last game that he played was against New York Mills when he had a two-home run game with five RBIs in that. So,
oh, man, that was so much fun.
Yep. And I know TJ was disappointed that the team didn't win, but we also had the conversation about, you know, sometimes you have to look at your individual effort, and that's something for him to remember moving forward.
Well, and I think of the 2012 state tournament team, I think of Jared Royland. Lives in forever in the history of baseball.
Yep, and I think of the bunt and the blast with Jalen Baldwin bunting over and then Royland getting the hit.
So that's what I'm going to think of. I think in 20 years from the 2024 team, hey, remember when TJ Mitchell hit two home runs in the same game?
And that's what we talked about the last part of that last game, or at the end of the game, is people are going to remember this 24 team for what you guys did, not how these last two games went. So happy for TJ and happy for the guys for the way that they finished their senior year.
Yep.
Dylan Geiser, he was our second baseman pitcher. He caught a little bit, and at the end of the year, he started playing some third base. So Dylan on the mound, he finished the season at 6-3 with 47 and two-thirds innings pitched, 63 strikeouts, 19 walks. He gave up 25 runs, 17 earned. And he had an ERA of 2.5, but a WHIP, which is walks and hits in innings pitched, of 1.2, which is pretty solid for a high school WHIP. That's kind of a number I kind of go by. I also like to keep track of total pitches throughout the year, and Dylan ended up with 752 pitches on the year. So a lot of pitches thrown for us on the mound. Hitting-wise, I know Dylan wasn't excited about his hitting this year as he was last year, but I also look at the on-base percentage, and he was just under 500 in that number two spot. We kind of like to hit Dylan in that two spot because he's a lefty, so we can, if we get somebody on, we can steal him, and he's also a good bunter and a good slap hitter and stuff like that. So Dylan's really disciplined at the plate. He had 12 RBIs in that batting in the second hole too. So that's kind of a unusual stat, having that many RBIs in a high school season batting number two. Also, we got to talk about Dylan coming back from his knee injury from his sophomore year. He missed his whole sophomore year, and we've talked about that extensively. But just one more thing to touch on about coming back and having a great junior and senior year for Dylan. So congratulations to him. Cale Benson was a second baseman for us. He played a little outfield. Cale is just steady at everything he does. And if you want to learn how to outwork people, watch Cale. He does everything right. He's the first guy to grab a rake after the game. He's the first guy to grab equipment and pull it away. So Cale's not always the most vocal guy, but if you watch him, he's leading by example all the time. So he batted kind of in that eight spot, kind of a bunting situation. Cale's really disciplined at the plate. He usually went to full count, or at least always pushed it to make the pitcher work extra pitches, and that's important for us in that position. So Cale did a nice job in that position and also defensively for us. Caden Mortensen, kind of the rock of the team, just Mr. Steady for us is what I like to consider him at. He batted in three-hole for us for most of the year. He batted .308. His on-base percentage was just under .500. He had 15 RBIs and a couple home runs and a couple doubles. And I think a couple of those doubles came in the state tournament also. So good for Mort. And then, of course, we didn't get him on the mound as much as we'd like to because he's such a good defensive player over at first base for us. It's hard to take him away from that. But he ended up throwing 24 and a third innings. He had 25 strikeouts, 8 walks, 16 hits, 15 runs, 8 were earned. He threw a total of 337 pitches, ERA of 2.3, and his whip was under 1 at 0.99. So a great job, a great whip for a high school pitcher in Caden Mortensen. So Mr. Steady kind of led the team vocally and just kind of everybody kind of followed Mort with whatever he was doing. So good, solid baseball player. Braden Danzizan, coming back from last year where he had 2 shoulder surgeries. Another great story for Braden. He worked super hard to get where he was at. He would catch for us a little bit, but Braden's biggest thing for us was a pinch hitter. Mr. Trustworthy, Mr. Clutch. His stat for pinch hitting, I think I've gone over it again. I think he ended his career pinch hitting, at least his senior year, was like 7 for 8 with 6 RBIs, a couple walks, a couple sacrifices, and stuff like
what?
That. So
really?
I don't have it right.
That's
updated
amazing
for me right now, but it was a crazy stat. So he's just, we had numerous talks where Braden, I felt bad that I couldn't get him in the lineup more often, but he's the only, I shouldn't say only, but he's the one guy that I really, really trusted in that pitch hit situation.
Yep.
And several times he came up big for us. And in his last at bat, he had a double against New York Mills. Unfortunately, I haven't talked to him recently, but he aggravated both shoulders again. So hopefully for Braden's health and future moving forward, because I know he wants to be a chiropractor, hopefully that heals up and maybe he can even play some more summer ball here if it isn't too serious. So, yep. And the last senior we had was Caden Molden. If you have seen a guy connect with a ball before, Caden Molden might be the guy you want to watch. He can hit the ball far when he squares it up. He batted .300. He had 19 RBIs for us. He had 2 home runs, 6 stolen bases, and his on-base percentage, again, was right around .500. So Molden is just a steady hitter at the plate for us. When he has his head down and makes connection, that ball is going to go a long, long way. So, and Caden's surprisingly fast. You know, he's going to Morehead State to play football, so you have to be an athlete to be able to play that level of football, and that's exactly what Molden is. And he's really aggressive on taking extra bases when needed.
Yeah, home run with quotation marks in Milroy.
Yeah, that ball was hit hard,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was hit hard. Oh,
yes,
my
it
goodness.
Was. So, yep, so that's kind of our seniors as a team. We had significant numbers here. I know, like, Davis Patzer, I'm looking at this, led the team in hitting. He batted .339. He also led the team with, or tied the team with RBIs at the end of the season with 18 or 19. He had 21 stolen bases, so Davis had a really good year, and we moved him into the 4 spot later on. Another guy to mention, I should mention everybody, but we probably don't have the time, but another guy at the end of the New York Mills game was our catcher for most of the year was Landon Weber, and one of the coaches said, you know, you guys stayed in that game because you're catcher, so, and I said, I will make sure to mention that to him, and Landon grew a lot this year behind the plate for us, so we're hoping that he can continue to build off of that and be a 2-year catcher, so. Brock Bierneal threw a lot of innings for us on the mound. He and Dylan were kind of the horses. Dylan, he ended up throwing 725 pitches. He was 5-2 with a 1.85 ERA and a 1.15 whip. So those were kind of our horses on the mound. In total, we finished the year at 16-8 with 153 2/3 innings pitched. We had 186 strikeouts, 92 walks, 115 hits, 94 runs, 66 earned, 8 hit by pitches, and we had 2,597 total pitches thrown throughout the year, if my pitch count guys are on the right number here. And our staff ERA was just over 3 at 3.01 and a whip of 1.35. So as a staff, those are pretty good numbers.
Yep.
Hitting-wise, as a team, our average is .243. With a slugging of .331 and on-base percentage of .405. I think one stat that kind of sticks out to me is that we had 90 stolen bases throughout the year. Mm-hmm. I know Bart has all the records and stuff like that, but I'd like to see where that measures up to other teams throughout the year. So overall, you know, what an experience, up and down for us at times, but that's the learning process. We got to remember that they're high school kids, and we're always growing and learning growing off of that.
Yeah. Yeah, great season. A trip to the state baseball tournament. And nothing better than that.
That's right. And, you know, we're going to miss our seniors as they move along. And, and with the numbers we have, you know, we only have three sophomores, but we have a good group of ninth graders. And I know it's early, but even our junior high kids have to start looking at competing and taking the spots of some of these seniors that we're going to be leaving.
Right.
So I also want to put a big thank you out to Madison and Appleton Baseball for getting the fields ready for our varsity games and our junior varsity games. There was a lot of games played over in Appleton, and I know both the JV and the junior high played quite a few over there, and they were so happy with having such a beautiful field over there. I'd like to thank Zach Stelter for everything here, especially with the state tournament, our AD, our fans, and the parents working concessions for us and you know, washing clothes. That's always a big one, getting stuff clean and ready to go. And I personally like to thank my family for always being there to help me out and having a supportive wife. And anybody that's coached, you know that your wife has to be supportive and good with everything. But I'm lucky enough where my wife is also a huge baseball fan. So
right.
And my kids are too.
And your mom and dad are one of the biggest baseball fans around.
Yeah, they love baseball. They've seen a lot of games.
Yeah, we go way back when you were playing Derby.
Yeah, that's right. I remember my dad did a few radio broadcasts with you.
Up in Ely.
Yep, that's right. And I go back to the days I waited for dad to come out of the field and we'd play catch in the front yard. So many balls thrown between each of us and watch a lot of ball.
And, you know, the games I did down at Madison Memorial Baseball Field, you know, the improvements that have been made to that field, you know, Bart and Brittany Engismo with the baseballs up there, and just amazing.
Yep. And both fields, you know, Madison is really come around really nice, and Appleton's really done a great job on theirs too. So if you haven't been to either field, I would suggest fans this summer, there's still going to be ball played at both of those. Go and take a look. It's a great atmosphere for fans, and hats off to both associations for the job they've done.
That's right. All right, anything else, Bart?
Don't worry, I get that a lot still.
I understand somebody who went in the dugout was Bart Hill.
Yeah, I get that wherever I go. So I hope it's not by looks, because I don't know if that's a compliment or not. So no, I just thank you to everybody. What a great year. What a great experience for the boys. I hope this is memories that they'll have for a lifetime, and we'll come back 10, 15 years from now and be able to talk about the trip we made.
All right. Thanks, Darby, for coming in every Saturday and doing the coaches show.
Yeah, and thank you guys for covering us. It's for those people that can't make it, it's such an asset to the community for us to have you guys covering us on the radio.
Yep, we love to do it. All right, that's Darby Biragon, head coach of the Lockapaw Valley Eagle baseball team. We'll take a break, come back with more of the coaches show after this.
Caddox Chiropractic Center, located in Canby, is committed to your health. They offer family chiropractic health care, individualized care for all ages, children through senior, manual and light force technique. Give them a call for an appointment at 507-223-7366. Caddox Chiropractic, located 131st Street West, Suite 108 in Canby. What
I feel is Dawson Boyd Arts Association presents a live concert experience rainy days and Mondays featuring Amy Lee and the Superstars. This is a tribute to the Carpenters at Memorial Auditorium during Dawson's Riverfest celebration Saturday evening, June 29, 7 p.m. Event sponsors Greater Community Credit Union and Dawson Area Chamber. Tickets $35 for adults, $10 for students. On sale at DawsonBoydArtsPresents.org or call 320-312-2311.
Paul Ramo back here in the studio wrapping up the high school coaches show for another season. I want to thank Dick Newman for hosting again. I think Dick's on his 50th year or something like that of hosting the coaches show here during the high school sports season. Next Saturday, we'll start the baseball coaches show right here on Q92. Thanks for listening, everyone.